Hi there and good evening. Welcome to the Jimbo Hannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Online, find us at jimbohannonshow.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jimbo Talks. Always a delight it is to welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show the nationally recognized expert on personal finance and the economy in general, Terry Savage. She has written The Savage Truth on Money. And the Savage Number, How Much Money Do You Really Need to Retire, among many other things. He's also co-author of The New Love Deal, and, of course, many columns and commentaries and the like. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Jimbo. Interesting week for money people, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we just start right in with that? What are we looking at? Are you bullish or bearish?
I'm cautious, I'll tell you that. It's very interesting. We're the stock market's at new all-time highs. But we started the week with a sickening thud, and out of nowhere, actually, nothing really changed. We're in an interesting time. We're having strong economic growth right now. We're having inflation. We could see it in consumer prices, although, yeah, maybe it's because of the recovery and shortages and chips and so forth, but it's really inflation. We see it in consumer prices. But interest rates are low, and they were headed lower all week despite inflation. Gold's doing nothing. Bitcoin's been up and down and struggling. And it's really hard to make sense out of these financial markets. So I'll just start with this advice. If you are a long-term investor, you are in your 401k plan, and that $300 a month or whatever it is going into the Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund, keep doing that. In fact, that's what I wrote in my free newsletter on Monday morning right after the opening. Don't get scared. You're a long-term investor. And if you want to be speculating in Bitcoin and meme stocks and AMC movie theaters and all that kind of thing, I'm not the person for you to be listening to.
You know, I've never really been interested in those games. There are places to go for that, and you can go there again, of course, Las Vegas, Atlantic City. I'm interested in building something comfortable for retirement. I'm not really interested in playing games. And if I am interested, there's always Caesar's Palace.
Exactly. Look, we've been through a lot in this country. Forget the last 2 years, the last 22 years. I mean, going back to the dot-com bubble bursting and the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, and yet, Warren Buffett said it best, nobody ever got rich betting against America. So if you are broadly diversified, invested, not trying to beat the market, all you have to do is be the market, get that Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund that's in your 401k, or you can buy in your IRA, Fidelity or Vanguard, you don't need someone to sell you anything. Open the IRA, put money in regularly. That way you'll never buy the bottoms, but you'll never buy the tops. And over the long run, you should come out ahead. It's worked that way for the last 100 years. A lot of ups and downs, a lot of scary moments for sure, but just take a look. We're at all-time highs.
Yeah, and again, I gather that if you buy over time on the stock market, there's no period in American history where you wouldn't have come out ahead, right?
Well, it's an interesting fact from the Ibbotson market historians that are part of Morningstar. It says there has never been a 20-year period where you would have lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks like the S&P 500. With dividends reinvested, that's a key component. Dividends are, over the long run, about 40% of stock growth, interestingly enough. And if they were inside a retirement account, you wouldn't have to pay taxes. So no 20-year period, going back to 1926, where you would have lost money in that portfolio. And by the way, that's even adjusted for inflation.
Wow. So something to keep in mind, folks. I know there are maybe a few people out there still gun-shy of stocks, maybe very old holdovers from the Great Depression. But I'm sorry, the facts just don't bear out your particular fears in this regard. Now, I've had a theory, and you can either buttress that or shoot it down because you know better. But my theory is this. That there were reasons why we had the dot-com bubble and the real estate crash back in 08. There were things we did that were kind of dumb, and we were due for a fall. You go back to the Great Depression. And something was going to happen coming out of the Roaring Twenties, and people were buying stocks on virtually nothing down. It was a wild, wild west of investing, no Securities and Exchange Commission. There were reasons that downturn occurred. There was really only one reason this last downturn occurred. We had a very healthy, robust economy, and sure, with the cycles of any market system, eventually it was going to go down. But at the time, about 15, 16 months ago, it was going great. There was nothing that was inherently weak about that. And so my theory has been, therefore, once we return from the pandemic shutdown, and you can argue all you want about should we have shut down, how long should we have shut down, how much should we have shut down, but that's beside the point. It was an artificial, arbitrary shutdown, and I've always felt that the economy should rebound like those Acme springs that Wile E. Coyote puts on his feet. Boing, yoing, 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 yoing. I don't see any reason why the economy should not take off just like it was going before. Now, that's my pet theory. Let's hear an educated opinion.
Well, first of all, you know, was it Rosanna Dana? It's always something. And
yeah,
it is always something. The stock market, even though the long uptrend is pretty interesting and an upward trend that's easy to see in hindsight, at the time, there are ups and downs that can be very scary, whether they're caused by human emotion, which mostly is what drives markets to extremes. But when you say that we should go back, that this should be a blip, and that our economy should just move forward because now we are almost reopened, and let's forget this horrific idea that the Delta variant might bring us down again. The fact is, we've done some things in the last 18 months that change a lot. One of the things we've done is created trillions of new dollars and poured it into the economy in various ways. We did everything from bail out the airlines, good idea. I mean, how can you have a nation without airlines? To give families that have a lot of young children cash in their pockets, and hopefully it will go to buying good food for them. But the Fed has created so much new money and liquidity to keep us from gurgling down the drain that I don't think you'll ever see us go back in exactly the same way. It was, you're right, you're always right. The economy was really booming and doing very well. Not huge growth. We were worried about China growing faster before all of this. But now we've created some distortions that are going to work their way through the system, the pig and the python. And the pig is this huge gorge of money. Some of it's still sitting on the sidelines. Some of it might go into the stock market and push it higher. And some of it is perhaps just destined to be higher prices, inflation.
All right. 1-866-50-JIMBO. 1-866-505-4626. Terry Savage. And again, we'll be looking at the economy and your economy. And the two don't always necessarily mesh. Granted, you're affected by the economy, but your personal story may be quite different from what's happening to the economy as a whole. 1-866-50-JIMBO is our number. 1-866-505-4626. And fasten your seatbelts, because the economy is always a wild ride. Back with Terry Savage in just a moment.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Welcome back to the Jimbo Hannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO. 1-866-505-4626. And Terry Savage, the expert on personal finance, is our guest. She made mention of her column that she put out this past Monday. And the column says, among other things here, have we seen the peak of the economic rebound? Lumber prices have backed off, though still above pre-pandemic prices. Oil prices are off their peaks. Home builder confidence slows. Consumer sentiment may dip. But Market technicians have noticed that despite headlines of new market highs for the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ in recent days and weeks, the majority of the stocks in those indexes were not participating. So, give us the gist of what you were saying this past Monday.
Well, what I was saying was that not every stock has participated. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is only 30 stocks. It just went over 35,000. It's an all-time high. So, but in the broad growth of the indices over the last 6 or 8 months, there are many stocks that haven't participated. And I think that might have been the reason. It's like Swiss cheese. There were some holes, some air holes in it. And I think that was part of what triggered the market decline on Monday. Technical. But the fact over what I also went on to say is, do I think this is the peak? I don't think so. I said because there is so much money sitting on the sidelines. Now, each of you may not feel like you have tons of money sitting on the sidelines just waiting to be spent, but in general, given what the Fed's been doing in the banking system, there's a lot of money sitting on the sidelines, and I said that would probably push prices higher. I had no idea that it was going to rebound the next day. I don't time the market. I'm not a trader. I'm a long-term investor, and I don't have clients. I'm not selling anything. As you know, I write a nationally syndicated column for the Chicago Tribune, and I've been in the markets. I was a founding member of the Chicago Board Options Exchange and the first woman trader. So I've been around for a while, and I've seen the market do some scary things. And my goal is to tell people, you know, you're betting on the future of America. This is where we live. You might as well invest in it.
I've often been curious about the lemmings off the edge of the cliff mentality, the herd mentality. Boy, you get a stampede started among investors, and it's like a herd of cattle or something. I mean, you know, they're going to run off a cliff somewhere. In fact, given all the trading that can take place in this digital age now, I guess that's the main reason they put limits on trading, that if a real panic starts and people with the click of a mouse are trading millions of shares of stock, the stock market has simply said, hold on there. No. We're not running off that cliff. It's funny, this market mentality, or if you will, emotionality.
But Jim, the market has always been emotional. I mean, think back to the tulip mania in Holland centuries ago, when the price of rare tulips was pushed to be worth more than a farm and all the livestock on it. Emotion has always pushed prices to extremes, and that's the reason why you make a plan and you stick to it. And we've had a tremendous bull market that we've been part of, again, some scary shakeouts. But the fact is that if you have a certain portion of your money that you need to have for retirement, you want to be exposed to the stock market, primarily because the stock market has a long-term history of beating inflation. That doesn't mean some things couldn't go wrong. I'll tell you what I think might be coming up that will scare the market, and nobody's paying attention to it, I think. We're running up against our debt ceiling. And the Treasury Secretary, Janet Yellen, who's former Fed chairman, who sure knows what she's talking about, just warned Congress that if they don't act to suspend the debt ceiling limit by the beginning of August, there could be some issues with, well, you know, this has happened a couple times before. Military, you know, they threaten the military won't get paid. In fact, it did happen a couple of years ago, I think, when President Trump was in office. So if there's an unwillingness, you know, we've printed all this new money. We didn't just print it, it's not printing presses. The government sells IOUs called treasury bills, treasury notes, treasury bonds, the maturities, long-term bonds, medium-term notes. And those are IOUs, and we have to pay interest on them. And if we've been borrowing and borrowing and borrowing, and we have a limit, supposedly, and how much we can borrow.
Yeah, so and we always, of course, we keep raising the limit.
That's exactly what's about to happen again.
I've heard it said that defense expenditures, entitlements, and interest on the debt constitute about 70% of all federal spending. If you were to, for example, eliminate all of the, quote, discretionary spending, get rid of the entire Department of Education and the entire Department of Health and Human Services, get rid of the entire Agriculture Department, the Interior Department, all of those discretionary expenses, that's about 30% of your federal money. And the rest of that stuff you still wouldn't get to.
Exactly. And interest on the national debt. Now, think about this. I'll just give you... You know, I don't like to think about, is there life on other planets or were those really UFOs? But in the category of thinking about that, right now, interest on the national debt is the second, is the largest category after defense and programs that are mandated, like Social Security, for example. And right now, interest rates are at all-time lows, practically at all-time lows. A 10-year Treasury note, about 1.3%. In the pandemic, it got down to about a half of 1%. But, I mean, we're talking about very low rates. Somebody out there remembers when we had inflation last time in the early 80s that we had Treasury bill rates at 13 and 14%. Now, think about this. Right now, interest on the national debt is the third largest category of spending. What if interest rates were not being suppressed by the Fed? And what if interest rates just bounced up to keep up with inflation, which is currently, let's say, running around 5%? Do you know what would happen to that portion of the budget that is required interest on the national debt? And then now you get a good idea of why the Fed's working so hard. It really hurts savers, people who had money in the bank for retirement, were going to live off their interest. They're not getting interest now because the Fed is keeping interest rates low. It's got a lot of reasons, it says, for doing that. But the biggest borrower of all is the U.S. federal government.
Of course. And it is. Now, with the federal government doing so much borrowing and sucking up available money, why don't we have interest rates like under Jimmy Carter? Why don't we have 20% interest rates? I don't understand how interest rates have been so low with Uncle Sam sucking up so much of the available capital.
Well, first of all, the rest of the world sees us, despite our problems, as the safest place to invest. And our yields are a little bit higher than the rest of the world, where people were so scared, the banks were actually, there were negative interest rates. You had to pay the bank in Euro land to hold on to your money. So relatively speaking, we have higher rates, and people trust the U.S. dollar, although there's some concern about that now. So money floods here. The Fed's been able to get away with it. We've created an unprecedented amount of new liquidity in the system. It's not, again, the printing presses. It's the Fed goes into the open market and buys those government IOUs, Treasury bills, notes, and bonds, and, by the way, commercial paper and mortgage-backed securities and a lot of other stuff, and pays for it with newly created money. So the Fed goes into the Treasury bill market and says, we're buying these overnight repos or whatever they're buying. And they pay for it with money that they create with the stroke of a computer.
Sooner or later, some American politician is going to turn statesman and actually level with the American public. They'll be voted out of office because we hate to hear the gravy train can't last forever, but it can't. Here's a call from Kurt in Jamestown, New York, for Terry Savage. Hello, Kurt.
Hey, good evening, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Good show. Terry, familiar with your work? Like all your comments tonight. And I'd like to make an observation, a comment, and a question.
Oh.
My observation is that we have a ton of new pensions all over the world that are demanding fixed rate, safe stuff, which is why our Treasury is in such demand. My question, I'd like to see you propose or detail an exit strategy for the average investor. Under the guise of we're all going to be in this when it busts. So, you know, the key to it is knowing how to react, you know, how to take a little off on the way up and what levels to pick to put it down.
By talking about when it busts, I gather you're looking for a big fall, Kurt. Is that it?
Well, I'm seeing behavior. I was a professional in this business, and I'm seeing behavior I haven't seen since 87. But preface that with the fact that the market can stay, as you know, insane longer than you can stay solvent. So I've never been able to guess the tops. I've correctly called 23 of the last two tops. And I don't try anymore.
Well, I'll tell you what. Now, we're coming up on a break that doesn't move. So in order to give Terry a chance to say something more than, Kurt, we will actually go to that break, and she'll give you her answer when she comes back. Again, Terry Savage, our guest. Her website is her name, TerrySavage, personal finance expert and author of The Savage Truth on Money. I'm Jim Bohannon. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. We're looking at that economy of ours, and of course it's been through some ups and downs of late, and there still are great uncertainties, great questions to be answered, especially regarding the pandemic. Terry Savage, our guest, is a nationally recognized expert on personal finance, the author of The Savage Truth on Money and The Savage Number. And her website is her name, TerrySavage.com. Kurt in Jamestown, New York, had essentially, I guess, Terry asked about an exit strategy if we actually hit the big fall.
You know, Kurt may asked a very critical question, and he asked it in a very professional way. Because what he was talking about was knowing that you can't pick the tops and the bottoms. And that is why it's really important. You think about what you own and what your exposure is at this particular point in your life. So there's not one answer that fits all. But that's why you work with a fiduciary financial planner, someone who's not trying to sell you something. And you look, you know, the world's divided in investing into the bulls and the bears. I add a third category, the bulls, the bears, and the chickens. And chicken money is something everybody should have. It's money on the sidelines that lets you sleep at night through the ups and downs of the stock market. So at some point you decide, I'm close to retirement. I don't think I want to be 100% in the stock market. Maybe I want to be 50 or 60% in the stock market. And when you've seen that portion of your portfolio grow, it might be time to take some off the table and move it. Then the question is, well, where do I move it? The stock market's made me some money, but now I'm up to 70, 75%. Now, nothing wrong with being 75% or even 100% in the market, but if your life situation, your ability to tolerate risk and tolerate loss is such that you're going to panic when it goes down, then you don't want to get to that point. You want to say, well, I think I ought to move some. Now, the problem is today, where can you move anything but the stock market, which is why the market's going higher, and that's because you don't want to lock your money up in long-term bonds at 2 or 3%, because if we do have inflation, who'd want to be stuck with 2 or 3% bonds if rates go up to 4 or 5 or 7 or 10%? So you don't want to be locked up in bonds. Gold doesn't seem to be doing much. I'm sure some of you want to speculate in Bitcoin or alternative currencies, but maybe the thing that nobody wants right now because it pays nothing and it's totally unappealing, which is cash, which is money market funds, government treasury money market funds. To have some of that money on the sidelines does two things. It gives you a chance to buy bargains down the road if you're so inclined, but it also lets you say, you know what, if the market crashes, it'll come back. It may take a year or two or three, but maybe. But I have enough money on the sidelines that I'm going to stick to my long-term plan. So that's your choice right now between the riskiness of the stock market, the apparent riskiness of the stock market at new all-time highs, versus, gee, what's my alternative? Money market fund that pays one-tenth of 1%? It's a real problem, and I'm afraid people are taking a lot of risk chasing higher yields in things that might be more dangerous even than the stock market, and that's bonds if interest rates go up because of inflation.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for your call, Kurt, and to another call here in a second. What distinctions would you make right now, Terry, between corporate bonds and government bonds?
That's an interesting question. I mean, you're asking this on the eve of a potential, I mean, I don't even want to say this out loud, of a government default on paying the interest on its bonds if they can't get their act together. But take a look at Congress right now. Forget the political side of it. It's all political, and that's what's so disgusting, both sides. They're debating this infrastructure bill. They're debating whether it's human infrastructure or other infrastructure. If they can't come to an agreement on something that all their constituents seem to want, money being spent on roads and bridges, and if they're going to not get an agreement on that, something everybody's in favor of, pretty much, let's build something and get jobs going and get the economy going, then how are they ever going to get together to deal with the debt ceiling? And if you can't deal with the debt ceiling, what does the Treasury Secretary do? Does the Treasury Secretary say we can't pay the military or we can't pay the interest on our debt? No, that's no joke. So you ask me, oh, well, government bonds, you know, they're so much more secure. Right now, what's going on in Washington, I'd say a lot more corporations are making money and that their bonds are a more secure claim on the future than what goes on in Washington.
All right. A call from Vicki in Poison, Montana. Hello, Vicki.
Hello, in Poulsen.
Oh, Poulsen. I did mispronounce that. It is Poulsen, Montana. Okay, my mistake, Vicki. Please go ahead.
You know, just advice on someone who is 64 years old, really has nothing, and literally, I mean, I don't own any property. I don't own anything. So suggestions on what I should do to build my retirement. I'm going to have a teacher retirement. I'm a teacher. But that's not going to amount to that much either, you know. So just wondering if you have advice on how to better do that.
All right. I think it would be a relevant question to ask, Vicki. How much money do you make annually?
Well, that's going to change, actually. So,
all right. Downward?
No, upward, thank God.
Okay.
So I'm actually literally going from like 39,000 to 57,000.
Okay. Well, so a nice hike there. Okay, Terry.
Vicki, well, first of all, you won't get Social Security. Is your teacher's pension offset Social Security? Or do you have Social Security from another job?
Oh, I will get Social Security, you know, from when I retire from Montana. So what I'm looking at doing is I have Montana teacher retirement, which in the past I've had to borrow from. So unfortunately, but it's just life. So so it's not going to be a whole lot there. But
all right.
And then
Let me break this down for you very simply, okay? And this is just the way the numbers work out. Number one, thank goodness you're in a position, doesn't sound like you mentioned debt as a problem right now. So number one, if you're getting Social Security, I want you to be sure to wait till your full retirement age to collect Social Security, which will be about 67. And that's important because that base, first of all, if you're earning money, and you're collecting Social Security under 67 or your full retirement age, they'll dock you your benefits. But more important, the bigger the base check you get, the bigger the future inflation adjustments you will receive. So it costs you about 8% a year to take Social Security early. So number one, Social Security early. Number two, I'm not going to tell you to go invest in the stock market at this point with money that you really can't risk losing. You take every penny you've been living on, $39,000, you're going to get over $50,000. Set that money aside. I'm literally saying put it in the bank, even though you're not earning a lot of money, and build yourself a safety cushion. And number three, you use the word retire. You may be retiring from teaching. Maybe it's a forced retirement because of the system. But it doesn't mean you have to retire from earning money. And right now is a perfect time for you to be thinking about what skills, may not have to be a full-time job, but what skills or talents or abilities you have. It could be driving an older, wealthy person around who doesn't have anybody to go get groceries. It could be anything you think of doing, but the most important thing you can do is continue earning some money even after you retire from teaching. It's a shame we don't pay teachers enough, but that's another story. But one of the things, you can't think of retirement as the end of money coming in from work.
Yeah. Good luck to you, Vicki, and we'll be back with more calls for Terry Savage in just a moment.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very awesome. amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Glad you're with us on the Jim Bohannon Show with Terry Savage at terrysavage.com, author of The Savage Truth on Money, The Savage Number, and the co-author of The New Love Deal, and of course her weekly columns and commentaries. And let's take a call from Sharon in Crane, Missouri. Hello, Sharon.
Hello, Jim. I don't know if your guest can help me with this or not, but here goes. This last spring, I was in the hospital for almost 2 months, and I've had some surgeries since then, but I am recovering well. However, it has left me with a load of medical bills, and I have a house that in 3.5 years will be paid off, but I'm paying 10% interest, and I had other debts with the medical debt piled up on the medical bills. And I am living on Social Security, and I am stretched to the absolute max. I don't have anything left to live on.
I'm going to show you where to get help, Sharon. That's a horrible position to be in, but you have a house that is worth something, and I presume you want to stay in it.
Yes.
And you answered my question. I was going to ask how old you are on national radio, but if you're living on Social Security, I know you're at least 62.
73.
Okay, fine. Well, then, I'm going to give you a couple of things. And one of the things I would ask you to consider is a reverse mortgage where you take money out of your home. That only works if you plan to stay in the home for a long time and you have enough money to do the upkeep, the insurance, and the property taxes and so forth. But I know who can help you, and I think they've helped so many people. This is the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. This is not one of those, we'll consolidate your debts and get you out of debt and pay us a fee kind of a thing. This is a national nonprofit foundation for credit counseling, and the toll-free number is always up on my website at terrysavage.com. It's 800-388-2227. Again, that's 800-388-2227. That connects you to the nearest member agency, and they can tell you how to deal with these issues. Sadly, one of the fastest growing groups of people filing bankruptcy are seniors. It's not surprising. You're not working anymore, and all kinds of things can happen that are uninsured, like you have, or other things that happen in life. But you don't want to just rush into bankruptcy. You do have equity in your home. Maybe a reverse mortgage is the solution. Go to terrysavage.com, and under my columns, just the keyword reverse mortgage, you'll find the column, a couple of columns that I've written over the years that explain how those work. But you're right to take action. Don't just sit there and don't panic. Call the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. They know about all these solutions. You don't want to lose your house, and there might just be a way out that lets you get out from under this. So, again, I'm going to give that toll-free number again. 800-388-2227, and they are nonprofit. They're very inexpensive. Usually they're free or a few dollars to have a consultation. You can do it over the phone or go in to meet them. Yep, that connects you to the nearest local agency.
And that number is for what again, Terry?
The National Foundation for Credit Counseling.
Okay, very good. All right, National Foundation for Credit Counseling. And good luck to you, Sharon. We go to Barry in Nevada City, California now.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thank you.
I wanted to ask Terry a question. I've made a little bit in the stock market. The problem is, if I want to get out, I'm going to have to pay taxes on a big chunk of it. So I don't know if there's a way to make it where I wouldn't have to pay as much. But I also wanted to ask her about annuities, because I've heard good things about that. I mean, you don't make quite as much, but you don't lose either if you get a good AAA annuity.
Whoa,
so,
Barry, let me stop you. First of all, the way to deal with making money in the stock market and not paying taxes immediately is to open yourself an individual retirement account. You can do it at Vanguard or Fidelity or Schwab. And when it's in, if you have earned income, you can put $6,000 in there. And when you trade, you don't pay any taxes. When you withdraw it at retirement, and it's all growing tax deferred, so the more money you make, the more trades you make, the more successful you are. You'll pay ordinary income taxes when you retire. Hopefully, you'll be in a lower tax bracket by then. So that's how you deal with taxes on stock trading. You do it inside an IRA. Now, capital gains taxes are pretty low right now. So the other thing to say about taking gains is, listen, if you made a lot of money, don't mind giving up a little bit to the government. That's a fool's errand. You have to pay taxes, but don't let that deter you from taking profits when you think it's time to sell a stock.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Barry. And more calls to come. We'll be back in just a moment.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Jim Bohannon Show at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. I know Terry has something special she wants to talk about, and we will do so right after this call from Kim in West Glacier, Montana. Hello, Kim.
Hi, Jim. Thank you. And Terry, I think I'm really rather boring. We own our property. We own our house. We have Social Security, and my husband has a pension from a fire department. We pay cash for everything. Is this weird or what?
It's not boring. It's inspiring. You're calling to tell me you don't have a financial problem.
No.
Well, what's wrong with you,
hallelujah.
Kim?
Hallelujah. That's great. You prove it can be done. You're inspiring to millions of people. What's your secret? Everybody wants to know, what was it? Is it self-discipline or what was it?
We don't need. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah. It means you're a grown-up, Kim.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
Well, we should be at our age. But, I mean, I listen to these people, and, you know, I feel really sorry for them.
Right.
You know, they've got kids. They went through all of this crap.
Right.
But so am I. I'm not smug.
No.
But I just want to think there are people like me who are just sort of, like, out of debt, and sounds like it, you know.
Well, it's just a good thing, Kim. You're to be congratulated to living within your means and showing some discipline. I'm sure Terry agrees completely.
And you know what, Kim, you want to thank God or whatever you believe in, because you haven't been faced with unexpected health challenges that were ran up expensive medical bills. Obviously, you didn't have children that were drug addicted, and there are too many that have, you know, overdoses and stuff like that.
There you go.
A lot of bad stuff sometimes happens even to people who are trying to do all the right things.
Right.
So you've done all the right things, and you've been, obviously the word is blessed in the good fortune in your life. So my only message, and which is one that I live and believe in myself, is if you've had that good fortune, you have to think about reaching out and helping others.
Amen.
I'm
to
not
that.
Necessarily financially, but there are people in your neighborhood who can't drive to doctor's appointments and stuff. So pass it on.
Way to go, Kim. Thank you. I wanted Terry to be sure and mention something about tax refunds.
Yeah. Look, at my website, terrysavage.com, I get tons of blog post questions all the time that I try and catch up and answer. And I just want to hit some of the top three, because nobody's asked about them, but they're the questions that keep coming in. Number one, where's my income tax refund? I want you to know that it's coming, but they are way, way, way behind. I'm not a spokesperson for the IRS. They're very busy these days. We'll talk in a minute about the child tax credit. They just finally are at the tail end of putting out 2019 refunds. So even if you filed electronically and put in direct deposit information, your tax refund is being delayed as they go through them and find out who paid taxes on unemployment that they should get a rebate on and so forth. The good news is you'll get 3% interest dating back to mid-April, but you're not alone if you're waiting for your tax refund. Ditto that third stimulus check. In fact, the IRS just put out a press release this past week that it sent out millions more in the third stimulus tax payment. If you are missing those payments, you can go to IRS.gov and click on the Where's My Refund tool, but I promise it will drive you crazy because it never gets updated. If you go to the Get My Payment tool for your stimulus and it says it was sent, then go to TerrySavage.com. There's an update on IRS, and they'll give you a link to how to file a trace on that. But just because you haven't heard, or just because the Get My Refund tool says we're working on it, and it said that for weeks and weeks and weeks, don't panic. You're not alone. And finally, the IRS just last week started sending out this child tax credit to millions of families. Now, this is something that's not new. There always was a child tax credit for lower income taxpayers. But this year, they increased the amount, and they said, wait, we're not going to get the 2021 credit out to people on their when they file their 2020 return in April of 2022. We're going to start paying them in advance. We're going to pay $300 a month for each child under six, and $250 a month for children over six and under 17 by year end. So they're paying it out in advance. Now, here's the important point.
Real quick.
If you file taxes, they know who you are. But if you know someone who's poor and didn't ever have to file taxes, go to IRS.gov, child tax credit.
All right.
And have them sign up. They're paying it out. They might
as well
get it.
Fair enough. Terry Savage, TerrySavage.com. Stay on the line, please. This is Westwood One.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.